Luke chapter 9. Let's look in our passage of Scripture today. We will be looking in, last week we were looking in verse 23, and I want you to look in Luke chapter 9, but look down in verse 57, and we talked about being all in as a disciple of Christ last week, or follower of Christ, two of the same. Today I want to look at a message that we've entitled, Be All In by Putting Jesus First. Put Jesus First. If you'll notice the pins that our kids were wearing, that's what they were wearing. Jerry Falwell has given away hundreds of thousands of little lapel pins, which simply say Jesus First. And when I was at Liberty, you can get these pins. And if you wanted a Jesus First pin, you went up to Dr. Falwell. And he had them in his pockets, and he'd give you out Jesus First. Now, when he started out giving these, they were bronze pins. And then a year or so before I graduated, he started coming out with the gold-plated pins, and which became pretty popular. And that's what I'm wearing today. And so that's where, you know, we have the opportunity to promote Christ. A message that is maybe in a little pen has a way to really share your faith with others. We live in a day and time where sometimes being a Christian is not, as we know, is not very popular. But God wants us to live an abundant Christian life. Now, what is an abundant Christian life? And an abundant Christian life is not something to just talk about. I mean, it's easy to wear a pin. It's easy to claim that you are a believer. But God wants us to be more than just let it be something that we wear. But God wants us to live it, to live an abundant Christian life. And how do you live it? Well, you live it by experiencing it, by experiencing the Christian life that God wants us all to experience. Because you see, all too often, people come to Christ for salvation, but they never continue with Him in order to realize the blessings of an abundant life with Jesus. Now, they never lose their salvation. Once you have your salvation, listen, God's not one to say, okay, I'm going to take it away, you sin today. You're not going to lose your salvation. But what happens if you do not experience that close walk with God every day, you begin to miss out on what God wants us to have as we know Him as our personal Savior. And that is the abundance of knowing Christ, that abundant Christian life. And so when Jerry Falwell would give out these pens, he would always challenge us, I give you the pens so that you would know that to put Jesus first by living it, by living your life for Christ. And I want you to look with me in our text today in Luke chapter 9. And if you're able to stand one more time in reverence to the reading of God's Word, let's all stand together and read Luke chapter 9, our passage, beginning in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, here's a man walking along the road with Jesus, said unto Jesus, Lord, I will follow thee or follow you wherever whithersoever thou goest. In other words, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where or nowhere to lay his head. Well, in verse 59 and 60, we see a second person comes along. And he said unto this other person, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Permit me, in other words, Lord, to go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Then another, verse 61, also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell. Permit me, Lord, in other words, to go say goodbye, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Some interesting verses here, aren't they? And it makes you wonder what really Jesus is talking about here in these passages. And I believe he's talking about that abundant life that he wants us all to have as we'll look at it. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God that we're looking at this morning. And Lord, we really need your guidance and direction in this message today. But Lord, we know, Father, that we cannot understand fully what you want us to know without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God that would just reveal to us the truths of your Word. What a privilege we have to open it today. What a privilege that we have to read it. And God, now to make application as you see fit. And Lord, there's not a one here today that's here by mistake. Through your sovereign care, you provided a way for us to be here today, and we thank you for that. It is our prayer today, Lord, that we leave here encouraged, better than we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, this is a passage that has been really abused and misused by many. And the reason it's been abused and misused by many is because many have tried to prove a false doctrine, pointing in regard to an individual losing their salvation. But the fact is, however, this passage that we just read does not deal with salvation, but it deals with service. It deals with service, not salvation. And within the Scripture, we find three individuals who came to Jesus with regard to service. And each one of these meetings that Jesus had with these individuals illustrates the need to put Jesus first in their life. And the same as we look at it for us. And as we see in verse 57 and 58, we see the first point that I want to make this morning. Jesus is just simply talking about putting him first before the future as he talks with this first man. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, there was a certain man said unto Jesus, unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I'll go with you anywhere. Have you ever said that before? I mean, maybe you haven't verbalized that, or maybe you have to someone. I'll follow Jesus wherever God takes me. Now, that's easy for Christians to make that statement. We all have done that, and I'm sure we mean it, and maybe this person that stated that meant it. But notice Jesus' response in verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It's important for us to understand that in life, and as Jesus is teaching here, we need to put him first before the future. Now, we all know, first of all, that talk is cheap, right? We've heard that. We've even maybe said that to someone. And there's a great number of Christians who are like this first fella here that we read about. And it's easy to say, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere, especially, you know, long as I'm having good days. We don't say it like that. But the real test comes when everything's not going well. It's easy to follow Jesus when everything is going real well. But it's much more difficult to carry through with this commitment when things are not going so well. Talk is cheap. Perhaps it's due to some misconception. The idea that all of your problems suddenly will vanish when you totally commit your life to following Christ is simply not true. Have you found that to be the case? That when you signed up to follow Jesus, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, and you're having good days, and then all of a sudden you have those bad days or those bad times that seems to hit us, and sometimes they catch us at a moment where we're least expect it, then the real test comes. Is what I've said, is that just cheap talk or is it genuine? Jesus told his disciples this in John 16, verse 33. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace," Jesus said, "but in the world you will have tribulation." He goes on to say, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, if we're not having some sort of problems in our service to God, once in a while, really, at least, then we're probably following Jesus afar off. If you're following Jesus, once in a while, you're going to have problems, right? There are going to be things that are going to take place. Peter, the Apostle Peter had to learn that the hard way. Remember Peter, as we look at his life briefly in a few passages here, Peter made some bold statements in his desire to follow Jesus. Matter of fact, in John chapter 13 and verse 37, and maybe you've said this, Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay down my life for your sake. I'd be willing to die for you, Jesus." Then we find in another passage in Matthew chapter 26, Peter said this in verse 37. Peter said unto him, "Even if I must die with you, yet will I not deny thee." And all the disciples said the same. So it was not only Peter that said that, but all the other disciples says, I'll not even deny you. But did Peter ever deny Christ? Sure he did. Matter of fact, in that same passage of Matthew chapter 26, in verses 57 and 58, "And they that had laid or seized hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." They were gathered. But notice in verse 58 it says, "But Peter followed him afar off." Peter followed Jesus from a distance, in other words, unto the high priest's palace. And not only did he follow him, but tragically, Peter went into this palace or this holding place and sat down with the guards, it says. The Bible says there in King James, the servants, but it's really the guards, to see the end. In other words, Peter didn't just deny Christ and take off, but he sat down and observed what was happening to his Savior the next round. Talk is cheap. Peter, though, had to realize later on that was so true. That he made some statements that he was not able to really keep. Some commitments that he was not able to keep. And, you know, for us to put Jesus first, we have to realize we're making commitments to do that. I told you last week about the black preacher in London. Remember, was it last week I told you? Yeah, last week he was arrested in London. Give you an update. He was arrested in London for preaching on the same street. He's a missionary, by the way. I read a little bit more about him. He was preaching on the streets of London. And I think he is a Church of God preacher. But he was preaching on the streets of London. He'd go out there all the time. And what the story behind this, I found out, the reason why the policeman came to arrest him is there's someone who is of Islamic faith complained to the policeman. And they said that he is disturbing the peace. And so they came up, and I saw the video of it, and the preacher was preaching what you would hear this preacher preach from the pulpit. He was preaching a salvation message. And he was preaching on the street corner as a missionary. A lot of missionaries, by the way, do that in other countries. And he was preaching there on the street corner. And so this Islamic person complained to the police officers and said that he is disturbing the peace, which, by the way, he had a right to do as far as preach. So the police officers came and says, "Hey, you're disturbing the peace. You got to stop." He said, "Stop what? Stop disrupting the peace." And he says, I, I, I'm talking about Jesus. And I'm just giving you a quick little synopsis here. And he was preaching Jesus to the point to where they didn't like what he was saying, and he wouldn't move on, and they arrested him. Well, it came out yesterday or today that they actually just took him off. They never actually put him in jail, but they took him away from town to get him out of town, and thinking he wouldn't have a way to get back transportation-wise, and they just dropped him off somewhere. Well, some people, I don't know, God sent someone along the way and helped pay for his way to get back into town, and he started preaching all over again. And he gave a little video of a clip stating in this video he wanted to just let the world know. He appreciates their prayers, but he's okay. He says, I'm back preaching again. You know, when you put Jesus first, there's going to be some ridicule. When you put Jesus first, there's going to be those like Peter that will experience, tough times. But it's not a time to back down on our stand for Christ. It's not a time to say no and hide out. Talk is cheap. It's easy to say Jesus is first or to wear a lapel pin. But is Jesus really first? Because we're going to be challenged in our day that we live in, whether or not that we're true disciples of Christ. And that's why we have to put Jesus before the future. Discipleship cost. We looked at that last week. By putting Jesus before the future, then we must know that discipleship cost. It's not to be entered into without being serious, in other words. Jesus says if a man plans to build a tower, he first sits down and he counts the cost to make sure he has enough to finish it. And the reason is that if he don't count the cost, then he'd be made a mockery for starting something that he couldn't finish. So the same is true in discipleship. We have to know that, listen, when we decide that we're going to put Jesus first in our life, we can't expect that there's not going to be some kind of ridicule along the way, that there's not going to be a cost involved. Not everybody's going to wrap their arms around you and love on you because you love Jesus. Now, we Southerners have kind of been used to that maybe for a number of years. I love the South and been a Southerner, but you know what? We've got a lot of people coming in to the South from not only other countries, but various parts of the even up north. Northerners, I found out this. I'm not out to offend anybody. But our northern folks, sometimes the reason why they come down here initially, and they look at Southerners kind of odd. They're thinking, they're too nice. There's something not right about that. You can't trust somebody that's always seems to be that nice. But Southerners, they go up north and they're thinking, man, they just are too mean. Or they don't want to listen to me. My daughter, she's had a little tough time getting adjusted to the north up there. But really it's just a matter of, trusting people that are in different parts of the world. And we're in the South, and we have to be careful that we think when somebody says something that maybe they look at us a little differently, or we go to their door and we knock on their door and they may slam the door, there's a tendency to want to give up. But as disciples of Christ, we've got to count the cost. Not everybody's going to appreciate the message that we have to offer, much like this black pastor. We've got to be willing to know there's a cost involved in being a disciple. And this man, he watched Jesus in our passage in verse 57 and 58. He watched Jesus as he, remember, go back earlier in Luke chapter 9, as Jesus blessed the bread and the fish, and he fed the multitudes, and he observed the glamorous side of the ministry. I mean, this man observed all of that. And Jesus filled him in on the facts of life during that time period. And discipleship, listen, is not always glamorous. Discipleship has a price to be paid. And when he realized this, when this man realized this, that Jesus was talking to, he was never heard from again. Jesus says in the latter part of verse 58, "But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." You realize Jesus never had a place he could call home on earth? And I think that the lesson we can learn from that as Christians, we should never get so comfortable here with our, quote, home on earth that we think this is it. Because God has something far better for his children. This is not our home as Christians. We're just passing through. So the next time you have a bad day or next time that somebody gives you down the road, you have to understand this is just temporary. What we have in life is going to be for eternal, and that's heaven. Jesus is our example in that. So by putting Jesus before the future, then we must know that Jesus is to come first when it comes to the future. Far too many Christians say that they're living by faith while they're actually walking by sight. In other words, I'll do it if I see it done. And often, going forward, we don't know what's going to be ahead of us. We don't know really anything. We don't know that tomorrow's going to hold. But as Christians, we must remember during tough times that the promises of God are still true. That today is not going to be like tomorrow, maybe. But God is true to fulfill his promises. And then there's needs that we have in our life that come about. We have to remind ourselves that God's not broke, that he will meet our needs, that he's able to meet our needs and take care of us. I remember starting out in Bible college when I went to Liberty University and was able to graduate there, met my wife there. And my first semester, I remember the president got up of the college in a chapel service. And I remember something that stood out to me that I said, I'm not going to be in that statistic that he stated. And he said to this freshman class, he says, statistics have proven that at least 80% of you are going to drop out of college before sophomore. Before your sophomore year. That meant 80% of the freshmen that were there, and at that time there were several hundred when I was there. You're 80% of you are going to drop out of college. In other words, 80% of those, especially those men that have been called of God to go into ministry, are going to drop out. And I thought when he said that, I don't want to be in that category. I want to determine to stay in the fight with God. I want to be a part of putting Jesus first. You know, this is just, it's not true just for pastors and missionaries, as that statistic was given out. But, you know, it's also true of those who have been given a ministry to fulfill within the local church. This church needs Christians who will put Jesus first for the future, don't we? There's going to be tough times ahead, not only for this church, but any local church that's taking a stand for God. And I personally believe that tough days are ahead for the churches today, of what we see in the times that we live in. And I really think if we believe the Bible, we have to know that. And I'm not preaching doom. I don't think the church has to be scared of what we're going to be faced with. But the church is going to be challenged. God's people are the church that I'm speaking of. The church is going to be challenged like, I believe, never before in the days ahead as we go forward for Christ into the future. We need not think that, boy, it's going to be an easy road the days ahead. I think society, the world that we live in today, tells us that we live in some wicked times, and we live in times like we thought we'd never see before, and that is so true. And I'm not trying to bring the news in on you, but you know, if you're like me, sometimes you turn the television on and you think, well, I've had enough of that. And you just turn it off because you don't want to hear it. But God has already told us that we don't have to be scared of the future, but put him before the future. Put him where he needs to be in your life, and God will carry us through the future. God will watch over his children. We do not plan for the future and then follow Jesus. We follow Jesus and we let Him take care of the future. Because if we're trying to plan for the future and say, well, I'll lay out my plans and then I'll decide to follow Jesus, that's not going to get you anywhere. But if you determine, hey, I'm going to put Jesus first and then let Him plan my future, then you know what? Everything will go the way God has intended for it to go. It's always worked that way. But for some reason, as Christians, the reason most Christians get in trouble is we set God aside, much like we see this first person really is doing here. And we try to plan the future ourselves without God. It doesn't work. The second person we see is we find in verse 59 and 60. Notice, and he, Jesus, said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now notice the contradiction that we see in this passage as we put Jesus before the present. As we see that in this passage, number two, put Jesus before the present. We cannot call Him Lord and still refuse to do what He tells us to do. Would you agree with that? We can't say He's my Lord, but yet at the same time refuse. As we see in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, before you get too involved in this passage here of thinking, well, Jesus was really being cruel to this person. You can't bury your own dead. But really, that's not what Jesus was talking about here. Matter of fact, there is no indication that this man's father was actually dead or even near death. This man was simply trying to find a reason for why he shouldn't follow Christ right then. Maybe he didn't want to leave too soon to follow Jesus, because if he left too soon, he may miss out on his inheritance. It's going to be coming his way, so I can't go following Jesus, because if I follow Jesus, that means I miss out on what's coming to me. There was no indication that this man's father had actually died. He was looking for a reason for not really following Jesus. He was saying, let me take care of my present obligations and then I will follow. You know, we're experts at finding excuses of why we can't follow Jesus, aren't we? We wouldn't think of questioning the Word of God. We know the Bible says what the Bible says about being a disciple. So instead of rejecting the Word of God, we sometimes find excuses for ourselves of why we cannot follow the Word of God. Here are some examples. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but sometimes we find all kinds of reasons of why we can't attend churches or attend church. I know that it's easy to do. If you wanted to be out of church today, I guarantee you could have found an excuse to you that might have been legitimate enough to be out. Well, I'll just miss church today. And I'm not going to start naming things. And I don't want you to think that I'm preaching this because there are different ones missing today, you know, for different reasons. But really, if we're honest, we could all find a reason to miss. Brother Emmett back there could have missed church today. Did you see those bees on that car? I saw a picture yesterday of honeybees that are on the front part of the car. And you can correct me on this, but what it says, the reason those honeybees were there were they were guarding the the queen bee. They were guarding the queen bee. They wasn't going to stay there on that car. I don't know that. Is that right, Brother Emmett? But Brother Emmett could have got a phone call and says, hey, you need to take care of those bees on that car. Well, Brother Emmett could have missed church today. Well, I don't even think that happened around here, Brother Emmett. I don't know. But you know what? Sometimes we can come up with all kind of silly reasons of why we need to be out of church. Devil likes to give us those reasons. God says, study to show thyself approved. If you don't want to read the Bible, You can come up with a reason why you don't want to read the Bible. I'm just too tired. Well, I worked hard today. Worked out in the yard all day. I just got back off vacation. And you know, we all can come up with those excuses. But it's important, would you agree, that we need to be in God's Word every day to feed upon it. I would be willing not to say bed. That's not good for a preacher to say that, is it? But I'd be willing to say that probably not too many are going to miss lunch today. Now, if you want to miss lunch, you'd come up with a reason why. We can do that with God's Word. God says you shall be witnesses. Well, if you want to not be a witness, you could say, well, surely He didn't mean me. He meant for the preacher to be the witness. He meant for the preacher to be the soul winner. He meant for that missionary, not me. I'm just supposed to show up on church and bring my Bible and sit back and listen to the preacher preach every Sunday. And then go home and say, I've done a good deed. I went to church today. No, Jesus says that we are to be His disciples. And we're to go in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. There's a command that God gives us to go and make disciples. It's not the preacher's job to go and make disciples. Yeah, it's my job as a Christian. My job as a preacher is to preach the Word. My job as a Christian, just like you as a believer, as a child of God, is go and make disciples. So I have the same duty as you have. We all do. But there are some says, well, that's the... I've even had people tell me that. Preacher, that's your job. It's your job to grow the church. It's your job to get people in here. Well, that sounds good because they say that because you know why? We pay you. I've had somebody tell me that. Matter of fact, a couple of people told. Not here today in this day and time. That was several years ago. So I don't want you to think, boy, who is that? You know, listen. But we're all to be witnesses. How do you think that we got here today? Those disciples that started out, those 11 men of God that God had there that started out, that God told them to go out and make disciples, and God took those few, and look where we're at today because of that. Look where we can be as a church as we continue to make disciples. Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. The calling of discipleship is far above anything else in our lives. There are those who are spiritually dead that can take care of their earthly task. Ours is a higher calling. Yes, the believer's calling is a higher calling. God can use anybody, but He's chosen to use His children to help advance the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. If not careful, we get so wrapped up in the things of this world that we forget about living that abundant Christian life that God wants us to live by putting Jesus first. We're living in the 21st century and our entire lives seem to be lived in a rush. Does it feel like that with you? I look at my grandkids now and I'm thinking, man, they're already half grown in some cases, seems like. Although they're not, but they just, boy, shooting on up there. My kids, I was talking to somebody last night. We were coming out of Target, me and my wife, and we ran into a couple we hadn't seen in a while, and they were asking about our kids, and we were asking about them. Well, we've got an empty nest. They're all off and gone. My wife says, yeah, kind of wished it wasn't that way with a couple of them moved off. You know, but that's the way it is. Life just seems to fly by, doesn't it? And we live life that way. And so many things occupy our time, but how many of those things are worthy of it? How many of those things that we get caught up in are really worthy of our time? Only one life and soon 'twill be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will what? Will last. You know, we cannot call Him Lord and then disobey His commands. We must put Jesus first before the present. We must put Him first before the present, before the future. And then lastly, we put Jesus first before the past. Yes, put Jesus first before the past. Look in verse 61 of our text. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell. Let me say goodbye to them. Permit me to do that, Lord. Which are the ones that are at my house? And Jesus said unto him, No. He says, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back to the past, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now this man said, I will follow thee, but, right? There was something that he wasn't ready to give up, in other words. I'll follow you, but, and he was willing to follow Jesus, but it would be done on his terms. And he lays out the terms. Jesus says that kind of service is not acceptable. We are not, well, we can, but it's not going to work with God. God, we can't tell God we're going to do something, but God, let me work this out first. And then, Jesus says this doesn't work that way. God doesn't work on our timetable. Some of you have your clocks with you, your phone or whatever. You got to talk. 24 hours is all we have in the day. God doesn't work on that. I'm thankful for that. How long are we going to be in heaven? I'm glad that God doesn't work off a clock, doesn't he? Does he? We're going to be in heaven for eternity. Now, when we get there, we don't know. No man knows the day nor the hour. It could be at 20 years of age. It could be at 50 years of age. It could be at 100. But you know what? Only God knows. And so when we think of what this man says, I'll follow you, but it's not a matter of our terms, but God's. It is a matter of the heart attitude, though. We cannot be an effective servant of God if we're constantly looking back at the past. Have you noticed that? You ever have a tendency to look back at the past and say, there's some things that, some good things that maybe have taken place in our life in the past that we want to hold on to. Good memories, nothing wrong with that. But the things that God has put under the blood, there's no need in trying to bring that back up. Devil likes for us to do that. Devil likes for us to question God's grace and mercy to forgive us of things of the past, because we all have things in our past that we don't want to live out. But Satan, whenever we find ourselves going back to the past, it's often because the devil's trying to bring those bad deeds up sometimes that cause us to be ineffective, and it robs us of our joy, and it hinders that effectiveness that I was talking about earlier in our Christian life. James said this in James 1:8, a double-minded man, generically man or woman, is unstable in all of his ways. In other words, you can't have one foot in the church, we often say, and one foot in the world. The good old days sometimes weren't all that good. My mom used to tell me about the good old days. I think my mom stretched the truth just a little bit. Because I think, the reason I say this, because I've heard everybody tell this same story. She'd tell me, I had to walk, in Alabama now, I had to walk in the snow 3 miles to school. Now I heard that when I was a little kid. Now I love my mom. I love my mom today. She's in heaven. But as I've grown old, I think in 3 miles in the snow, and you lived in Alabama, in Marbury, Alabama. Brother Holland, you were raised up in that area. You went to school with my mom. But you know, I love the story. But she would tell me the good old days of picking cotton. She would tell me about going in the fields and picking the peas. And I love the farm. I used to go up there and spend a few weeks on the farm with my grandparents. And, you know, hear some stories. But they would often say, too, there's some things that I don't want to go back to. Like air conditioning. I love air conditioning, don't you, in the heat of the summer. But I never heard my mom say, boy, I don't want to have an air condition. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Old things are passed. Aren't you thankful that you live in the grace of God, that the old things are gone when it comes to your old ways? God has forgiven you. It's under the blood, but Satan wants to bring that past up sometimes. God wants us to put him first before the past. Nothing can compare to what we have in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, our last passage says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. That love him. So let me challenge you to put Jesus before the past, no matter what our past might have been. Some people are not willing to go forward with Christ in the future because they still live in the past. They feel as though that maybe they can't be forgiven. But I'm thankful for the grace of God. No matter where you have been or what you've done, God's grace is not limited to a certain few. God's grace is for all who would be willing to accept what he did on the cross of Calvary. For all. So if you have something in your past that you think you can't be forgiven of, then that's a lie from Satan. Because God is willing to forgive you. He's proven his love for all of us when he went to the cross and he died. And you know, there may be some things right now that you have in your life as a believer that you just need to lay before the altar of God. I would challenge you to do that today. That's one of the reasons why we're even in church today. It's a place where we not only come to worship God, but yet at the same time to make use of the altars that God has given us. We must put first things first in our lives. We must give Jesus his rightful place. And that is the key to the abundant life. That is the key to come to Jesus Christ. If you come to Jesus, he'll give you eternal life. Come after him like his disciples and make him first in your life. Not only in your future, but in your present and in your past. Would you stand with me with heads bowed? And as we go into this time of invitation, I want to challenge you to, with your heads bowed and Christians are praying everywhere, if God is speaking to your heart, for whatever reason it may be today, whether you're a member already or visitor, if it's baptism, church membership, if whatever God is speaking to your heart about today, I challenge you just to do as the Holy Spirit leads you. If it's salvation and you're not sure if you died right now, you're not really sure in your heart if you died you go to heaven, we want to show you from God's Word how you can know. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your Word today, and thank you, Lord, that we can just break it open and, Lord, allow you to speak through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if there's someone that just needs to find their way at the altar today for whatever reason, if it's for themselves or someone else, God, help us to be willing to follow through on that. God, speak to hearts as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen.